Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Startup Onion. This is the second episode that I, Ollie, have presented, and I'm here with my guest, Linda. Do you want to say hello very quickly?
Hi, everyone. I'm Linda. I'm the CMO of Valor.
Great
to be here.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for joining me. And we're going to be talking a bit about Valor today, about their recent crowdfunding campaign and a recent trip to San Francisco that Linda and I were both on. So, Linda, can you start by just telling me a little bit, or telling our audience, our listeners, hello everyone, a bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I joined Valor about 18 months ago as their marketing consultant. And then the last 6 months, I joined as their chief marketing officer. I've actually been in tech and working in startups since 2011. My first role in tech was with FreeAgent, which was really great timing, actually. I joined them when they were just a small team of 30 people in total. I was the marketing director's kind of first full-time hire. We grew the marketing team there to 20. And when I left 6 years later, the team was about 120. They'd also gone through from like a startup to scale up, had an IPO, and then they were acquired by RBS for around 56 million. So I think
Quite a lot happened in the space of six years.
I think I was really lucky to kind of get in there just at the right time, and everything kind of had that really great experience there, which is brilliant. And then from there, kind of went off to be the head of marketing and kind of do it for myself on the leadership team with a company called Vero. They were a marketing automation system based in Sydney, Australia. So that was very cool to have a work with a globally distributed team and some nice trips.
Were you still based here?
Yeah.
So working in the middle of the night?
Or? Yeah, there was quite a lot of that. Yeah. Not too much, but yeah, there were quite a lot of late night calls and some really great trips over to Sydney with the team, which was fantastic. So got a really great experience there, 2 years experience. And then did find that it was pretty tricky working over here, working over in those different time zones. So I was keen to get back into the Edinburgh tech scene, work on some, just be around more people. Then COVID hit, which scuppered those plans. But yeah, luckily did a few couple of interim roles and worked for ResDiary for a bit as well. And timing worked out. Danae Shell started her own company as CEO with Valor. I'd worked with her at FreeAgent for a number of years. So kind of moved, joined her as a consultant, and the business kind of just kind of took off, actually. The startup has gone from strength to strength, and really excited that she asked me to join them as CMO. And here I am.
That's awesome. No, I love hearing stories of people who have worked in like the Edinburgh or Scottish tech successes, like FreeAgent or Skyscanner or FanDuel, like the big names out there, and like they've worked there for a while, and then they're like, I'm going to go and do my own thing. And then they buddy up with someone that they worked with there. And I think that's brilliant. Because that's, you know, where you've got so much experience from your time there, and you can just reapply it, you know, go through that growth period all over again, you know, put yourself through that experience.
It's brilliant. And to kind of go through it and to work on lots of different challenges and campaigns and see in different stages of that company and scaling it, and to then be able to kind of go off into other leadership and take those kind of leadership roles at a higher level, and having done, probably made some mistakes, seen different ways of doing it, wishing we'd done it different ways, and taking that somewhere else and feeling like you can do that a lot more smoother and probably make some new mistakes too and learnings. It's been really incredible, and you have a lot of a great network from that as well that you can kind of tap into and kind of to really help. So I think if you get into one of those kind of companies at those kind of early stages and they do kind of go through quite a high growth period, then it's really, really valuable. And I do feel very lucky for being kind of in the right place at the right time. So yeah, it was great.
That's awesome. Cool. And tell us a bit about Valor itself and like what Valor does.
Yeah, Valor is an AI powered legal tech platform. It's for consumers in the UK. At the moment, focused on employment law. So anyone who's having an issue at work where they've been treated unfairly by their employer and is a legal issue, around 7.5 million people in the UK face a legal problem of some sort every year. A study came out from a survey. This is before the cost of living crisis. And in that survey, 63% at that point, 63% of people at that point had said that they couldn't afford legal services; they were too expensive. So that's a huge market there that just can't access justice, mm-hmm. and they're in a situation where they have very little options because they can't afford to have those legal services. So, in creating this platform, anyone that's going through an issue at work can go onto the platform, and they can, if something's happened, they can put that into a timeline, they can upload information, documents, or they can email or something. So for many of those people that are looking to their legal services to help them with their employment issue, they're costing up to almost like nearly £5,000 in legal fees to go to mm-hmm. tribunal, which is just really not affordable. When typically Vala products cost using Vala will cost them maybe 90% cheaper to do that.
So it's a real big access to justice thing that, you know, enables everyone to get access to the legal support that they need.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I feel like I hang out on Reddit a lot because I don't know, I get bored easily, and I'm on the Legal Advice UK subreddit. I never subscribe to it, but it's in my feed. And it's just every day dozens of people who are saying, like, here is how my employer is treating me. Oh God, I need help. I don't even know where to begin. And it just feels like there is such a huge requirement for this that people are just being treated appallingly every day, like you said. And we need like a better way for them to work on that and to improve things.
Yeah, it's massive. So we know that everybody knows that they've either experienced or they know someone who's experienced a problem at work, and it has a massive effect on their life and in every aspect of their life. And I think having something where they can go and they can put the information in there, it's like almost even by putting in something's happened at work, even if you don't need to do anything with it, but knowing that you can put it almost like a way of journaling, you put this happened on this event, this timeline, and you can come back to that, and knowing that if this problem continues to go, you kind of collect evidence. It actually turns out that collecting that evidence, I didn't know until I started with Vala, is actually called contemporaneous notes. And if it did go to tribunal, because you've taken that note that happened at that time, the courts will look at that as evidence as well. Mm. So for your own notes. So it's so important to do that. It also helps that to ensure that if you ever feel you're being gaslit or having a problem that you're just doesn't feel right, at least you know you've noted it, you can go back to it. And then, but you can also kind of get on with your day because you're doing something that's quite empowering. And then I think that you never maybe need to do anything with that. And that part of the platform is free. Those features are free. And then if it is that you need to take this forward or raise a grievance, we have the letter templates there. We have all the support that you need for that. And then if you also think you have a case and you want to find out a bit more about that and without actually going to pay huge legal costs and fees with the solicitor, we've got a merit assessment, which is £149. They will go through all your documentation. You'll get an hour call with one of our legal professionals. So that's a fixed price, 1 hour call. They'll review documents, look at your case, the merits of that, and whether to take it forward and what your options are. So you don't need to spend a huge amount upfront to then decide whether to take this forward. And that will give you kind of really good options there. Our merit assessment was one of the first products that we actually used for Gen AI, because it's obviously so expensive. We needed a way to be able to reduce the time that solicitors are spending on reviewing documentation and a lot of that kind of work to make sure that we can make it cost efficient and affordable for our customers. So a lot of our customers could maybe put in their employee handbooks, they'll put in their evidence documents, and it's could be hundreds of pages. So our Gen AI that we've developed will go through those documents, summarize what the claims are in there. So it'll also look at what the customer thinks the claims are. It'll also predict if there's other things that it's pulled out that it thinks there are claims that they could go forward with. That pulls into a quick summary so that when they do want to engage one of our solicitors at a fixed price cost, the solicitor has a quick paragraph they can review and know where to dig into and where to spend that time, making that a really good conversation and affordable for the customer as well.
Yeah, that's super clever. And so, you know, is this a relatively new addition to the product, like the Gen AI side of things? Is that?
Yeah, so I think that was a few months ago now we put that in, but actually our CTO is kind of looking into it, and kind of he really kind of brought it to us. And I think, you know, most of the team were pretty skeptical about how we use this and going forward, but it's been huge, and actually and hugely accurate. We're now already with the merit assessment, and lawyers are are 2 times more efficient than they would be without this now, and quite often the majority of our products are actually 3 times more efficient, mm-hmm. Which is a huge saving.
Yeah, for sure. That skepticism is really interesting. I think that's quite common across most startups I speak to here in Scotland, of like, you know, the value of this, and like if it actually is just hype or if it's like actually able to create value for people. And it sounds like you have, if like lawyers are able to do their job far more efficiently based off getting a summary of like a 100-page employment document, you know, that just seems like a kind of win-win.
It's kind of quite similar to that accountancy model that we saw with Free Agent, and you know, previously everyone was using accountants and passing everything off to an accountant to do that for them, and their books. And similarly, like if we could and everyone could afford to go to a solicitor or a lawyer and pay, you know, that £300 fee for an hour of their time, then we would. But we've just seen in the market and the studies that most people find this too expensive. So in a similar way to the accountancy, we can put a lot of those tools in front of the consumer. They can actually do a lot of that initial work. And then when they need to connect with a lawyer, they can give that the more value in terms of understanding, like, okay, what are your options, and actually really giving them advice and coach them as to how to take this forward. From a legal profession, the same ways that an accountant would look at the taxes and actually tell you where to save in your tax. Mm. So it's kind of just changing that model a bit.
It is kind of amazing, actually, now you've kind of phrased it this way, how similar it is to Free Agent. You know, in terms of like, obviously Free Agent is for like accountancy, and but Valor is for the law, but it's like empowering the individual to do a chunk of the work in order to get the best value for themselves, you know. I don't know, maybe that's,
yeah, exactly, simplification. Exactly that, and the real value that people get from their solicitor and their lawyer is actually that legal advice and the options and coaching them as to how to take that forward. Mm-hmm. We know that as well now, that since I think it's been a 260% rise in people self-representing at tribunal since 2016. And even in family law cases, there's now about 40% don't have a lawyer on either side. So that's an untapped market that people can't afford solicitors. So if we can give them the tools and to help them in that situation, but then use a solicitor to coach them for what they can afford, there's a whole other market there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think the UK consumer legal industry is worth about 17.2 billion a year. And there's probably another over 4 billion of this market where the people can't afford mm-hmm. these services that we can offer and provide to them.
Yeah. And give them something that they really need, right?
Yeah. It's putting them empowering them, and they know their case better than anybody else, mm-hmm. and just giving them the guidance and how to move this forward. And we hear from our customers all the time that it's been life-changing. They wouldn't have been able to move this. A lot of people say they wouldn't have been able to move forward with their case. They wouldn't have been able to get justice if they weren't using Valor, because they just couldn't afford it. It has massive effects for emotionally, financially, and whether or not they go back into work as well in some cases. So it's been huge. We're also, you know, we've got an excellent rating on Trustpilot, 4.5 stars there, and we're constantly getting feedback. I think I have a spreadsheet at the moment, it's about 300 lines of just customer testimonials and great feedback we've got that we want to kind of use and go back to people. We also did an NPS survey, Net Promoter Score, and we got, our score was 57. The UK legal industry average for the UK is minus 54, so we're over 100 points above the UK at the UK industry average, which is fantastic, which just shows there's a massive need. And it's, I think that's what's really, I think, really exciting about working at Val and why I really want to join the team, is that it's really already seeing there's all these signals in terms of the, we just, it's like we just can't build it fast, and there's such a massive need and demand for it. And what we have done already, we're already getting really brilliant feedback, and we can see that in our testimonials, reviews, our, we're constantly talking to customers, in our NPS survey. So everything's there. There's so many opportunities right now, for us in different ways we can go. And I think also in that we started on the employment law market at the moment, and we've already seen that's obviously really working, but it's a very similar way to, we could move this and go into other areas of law, such as, you know, family law, doctor builders. It's all kind of legal day-to-day problems that consumers experience, and I think we can definitely, I think the product kind of translates to that, and we can move into those. So there's some really great opportunities there.
Yeah, I guess once you've got the sort of rough framework for it, then adapting it for a specific bit of law is like, yeah, that's the challenge there. But yeah, that's huge. Absolutely. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. And let's talk about, because you're in the middle of a crowdfunding campaign right now, like as we're talking.
Yeah.
Talk about how that's going.
Yeah, it's been,
tell us a bit about how
it's
that
been
came
brilliant.
About.
So obviously we've been kind of looking at investment, and we've had some investment over the last couple of years since we started. Investing capital, it's been tough to get investors, obviously such a difficult market at the moment. We then had a look at crowdfunding, and it just made so much sense for us. So, and both Sinead and I had actually done crowdfunding at Free Agent back in, I think it was around 2014. So it's something we kind of were aware of, but it makes so much sense for us in terms of we were having so many of our customers coming to us and asking, how do they get involved with Vala? This has been so helpful. Or they know someone that needs this and just want to make sure it's available to everybody. So we were getting this kind of feedback. So we decided to go talk to Cedars, the equity crowdfunding platform, and they were fantastic in helping us kind of pull that together. So in terms of actually engaging them and getting our crowdfunding campaign launched, it's probably less than 8 weeks actually.
Wow.
So it was really good. I think we were lucky because we'd had that kind of experience of kind of going through it before, so we kind of knew what to expect and how it would run. It also helps that both myself and today the CEO is from a marketing background, so we've got that advantage, thankfully. We set the target to raise 350,000 on Cedars, and we smashed that target within 48 hours, which is incredible. Super exciting, and again, it's a massive validation that people really understand the need for this product and want to get behind it.
Do you have a feel for like the kinds of people that were investing? Like, is that data that you have access to yet, or maybe is it too soon?
Just in terms of the kind of feedback we're getting of people understanding that need for it, I think there's because we've already been able to kind of get Gen AI in there and prove that value, and we have the data to show that we can make it 2 to 3 times more efficient. So, and that we can actually really change that delivery model for the legal services, which I think is super exciting and interesting to people. I think just that emotional level of actually everybody knows how expensive solicitors are, and quite often so many people they're going through an employment law issue or these issues, they just have to suck it up, or they have to leave, or it has detrimental impacts in their life. So I think that really they want to see this product come to market, come to mass market, and for people to be able to use it. So it's very, I think we've also had really great revenue growth as well. So we have 10x'd our sales in 2022 and 2023.
Wow.
We only started generating revenue in April 2022 is when we first started launching our products. Continued month on month revenue growth. So obviously, like, you know, that everything's going in the right direction. I think everyone's pretty excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so what would the crowdfunding help with? Like, what's that money going to go towards?
Yeah. So again, as I mentioned, the Gen AI, one of the key things there is just to keep developing that and making our services and products more efficient, building the platform, making that even a better user experience for our customers, and being able to roll out Gen AI to lots of other different products and fixed price services and costs. Fixed price services. And the other areas we really want to obviously invest in is just a lot of for our growth model and acquisition channels. So we've already had a really great growth through organic social, and so Danae's kind of really had led on that, and we've already got like over 100,000 followers on TikTok and over a million likes. But we also want, SEO has been a real brilliant channel for us, so we also want to invest more heavily in that, and also in PR, so we can just really get this in front of people.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, and so the crowdfunding campaign finishes when? In a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
So 12th of March today?
Looking at, I think, in about 2 weeks' time. Yeah. So we are, yeah, currently sitting at 515,000, and we are now looking to see if we can kind of reach that 600,000 mark, which would actually we were looking for crowdfunding to be part of a smaller round. So we had set that minimum target fairly low, but having looked at it now, we now see that this can really extend our runway, and we may not need to go out for that larger investment quite so soon, which is really exciting. And it's just brilliant to have everybody, all our supporters and people that really understand and really believe in this product, and to come them to come on this journey with us.
Yeah, it must be huge for you as a team to have that just support, you know, from all of these different people, you know, rather than one investor writing a check and saying, I believe in you. You've got like an army of people, an army of evangelists who are like, I believe in this and I want this to be a thing. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredible validation, and it actually has just given us even more motivation and energy to kind of to move forward with this, and we just know that it's something that's really, really needed. It's a massive problem right now, and we just want to build it and get it out there as quick as we can, so everybody has access to that, and hopefully does change people's lives quite a bit. And that, I think, one of those key things in that is that the platform and those free services, we really want to start promoting, making sure everyone knows that if they experience a problem at work, go and just log it in Vala with a timestamp on it and just go, that didn't feel right. I'm not sure if it's legal. I don't know where this is going to go, but I want to put this down. I've logged it somewhere safe and secure and I can get on with my day. If you have to come back to it, you can keep adding to that event timeline and things that happen. And you always know that those services and the support that you need is there in Vala should you need it. Hopefully you will never need it. But it is there, there's help and there's access available, and you can gain access to justice. It's huge.
It's a bit of peace of mind for you. Sure. Yeah. And are you, I mean, obviously the law is so varied around the world, but you're UK focused?
Yeah, so we are UK focused for now. We did explore previously other markets, and Danae had spoken to investors in the US and different places, but we were really keen to make sure that we could get this right in the UK first, especially for employment law. It's obviously a lot more complex in the US, so we wanted to make sure that we could get this right, make sure that the AI worked and that we could really develop this product. And now that we've done that and proven this model, it was really great to now start thinking about other markets we could go into, and it was so fantastic that we had this opportunity with Texco that came up and been invited out to San Francisco, which meant it gave us the perfect opportunity to start right at the stage to be able to kind of go back out there and have those conversations again and reopen conversations. And it was super valuable to find out, you know, what our opportunities are and create some really good contacts there. So that's been quite exciting that we are now kind of, and I could feed back to the team, both the CTO Jeff and Danae, and actually now going through planning for Q2 and the year ahead as well, with our funding in place, what our next what our next opportunities are going to be, which has been really, really insightful.
That's very exciting. Just for some context, Linda and I are both freshly back from San Francisco, where we spent, you were there for a couple of weeks?
2 weeks, yeah.
I was there for a week, and us and some Scottish founders were basically building our network, pitching investors, getting new customers, doing a whole bunch of stuff over there as part of the TechScaler Silicon Valley pop-up. What was like your biggest takeaway?
Yeah, so it was brilliant to go out there with a group of founders from Scotland with kind of similar challenges and looking for similar things from that. I think by going out together, you have these really great discussions. And when you go out to meet contacts and networking, there's so many opportunities to start to arise. And there's a huge amount of support between those founders. So whatever those challenges they were kind of going through at the time, they could give ideas, options, make contacts. And quite often, if you're going to events or networking contacts, you had the opportunity, if it wasn't right for you, to introduce somebody else or suggest or fight or ways that this worked better for them. Which was, and actually be able to kind of circle back as well and have those one-to-one chats, it really helped and how, and moving forward that with that. So yeah, that was really supportive. And then just being able to go out and actually go to, having a bit of time there so you could actually go out to different events and see a lot of other startups pitching and see some of those questions and what people were looking for, kind of benchmark, see where we're at. But then having that real time afterwards to be able to speak to a lot of other investors and startups about their journey and finding out really what investors are looking for and being able to have that time to kind of explain your product and what we're on our opportunities and what we're looking for and gauge whether or not there is an opportunity there for us. And one of the contacts I spoke to within about a 30-minute conversation had got really excited about our product and had given some really great ideas about partnerships and people kind of speak to. He even gave me those contacts there and then, and I went and he gave me his details and he is happy to do introductions, which is just something you wouldn't get by doing a quick DM on LinkedIn or, you know, just going to the online event. I think you have these are much more organic conversations that you just don't know where they're going to lead, and it's been hugely valuable
for sure. I think like in-person stuff is just kind of back. Like I think there was this moment when like COVID happened when we all moved like meetups online and courses went online and we were like, is this how it's going to be forever? Because now I don't have to travel and now I don't have to, you know, do logistics and things like that. I don't have to buy catering or whatever. But it certainly felt in Silicon Valley or in San Francisco, like it was just coming back to life. Like that it was all about being there in person and meeting people in person at things. Like, you know, I think we experimented with online, with like Zoom stuff, and it's like, that's good for certain purposes, but for actually like expanding your network and meeting new people, there's nothing, you know, that can really beat being there in person, I think.
Yeah, it's just a different experience, I think. And I think it gives the opportunity for you to have a much more organic conversation around that. And it leads to the conversation flows in a different way. There's much more different energy around it. You pick up on something and you kind of, you can let that conversation mm-hmm. kind of go and you have the opportunity to kind of follow up on it as well. I think it was a really good, I think everyone's just, it's such a great energy to have everybody in the room where it's excited to hear about different startups and what they're doing. And I think that it just, it's absolutely does lead to some really good conversations.
Yeah. And I love, Codebase used to be a tiny little thing. It used to be like 15 companies on like one floor in this building that we're in. And back then it felt like you kind of knew everyone. And as it's grown, it's obviously there's thousands of members now. And, you know, you just don't know everyone anymore. But I've just been in this WhatsApp group with you and the rest of the founders for the past couple of weeks. And I love that. I love that level of community where it's like, even this morning, people, you were connecting someone to Danae having to talk about something. And it was like, there was... there's just still activity in it. And like every day when we're in San Francisco, it's like first thing in the morning, it's like, oh, here's what I'm doing today. Here's what I'm doing. Here's where I'm going to be. Oh, cool. I'll see you later. I'll meet you up at this thing. And I love that stuff when it's just like a group of very focused individuals who are trying to build stuff, different sectors, you know, different verticals, but all SaaS pretty much, you know, through and through, and like sharing their problems and like learning from each other. I love that stuff.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. You could develop really good, strong kind of relationships with people on that trip because you'd be talking to them over that week almost every other day, you know, and something would come up. And even when you come back, you'll recall something that they said in a conversation and be like, oh, actually, I speak to them about that because they had gone through that part of that stage or they'd just gone through this. And you know that it's easy to reach out to that and to connect people as well. So much comes from that. Yeah, definitely.
For sure. We'll just need to do it again now. Get a whole new group of people and go back as regularly as we can.
Sounds
Scott
good.
Gubb, if you're listening to this. So let me ask you one more question just to finish up. Like, so we're coming up to the end of Q1 24. By the end of this year, like what would be like a really great success for you with Valor? Like what would, you've got 9 months left of the year, like what would success look like by the time we start 2025?
So there are a few key things I think we want to really achieve this year. Obviously continue our growth and develop those kind of acquisition channels to really create those kind of repeatable, scalable channels and experiment with a few other channels there too. We definitely want to explore our partnerships and those opportunities there. We've actually got a really exciting release, press release coming out hopefully tomorrow or later this week. Nice. So that's really exciting. So our partnerships and our B2B2C channel, we really want to kind of make sure we can push that this year. And see some real growth there. Also looking at those other markets for us. So we're already, the employment law, we can really scale the product there. And then just looking at that next area of law that we can kind of move into and do the same. And again, looking at the opportunities to kind of explore potential investment in the US and going into those markets too. So the other few other markets we've got our eye on. So some really exciting times. It's going to be a really busy, exciting year for us. We're still to close our crowdfunding round, which will be really exciting too, and bring all those investors on board on this journey with us.
And say, do you think you'll be hiring a few more people to help you on this journey with some of that money?
I definitely think so. I definitely hope so. Yeah. We're only at the moment, a team of seven for the core team, and then we've got our lawyers that work on the platform with us as well. So we're a pretty strong little team, but we could definitely, I think, with ambitious kind of targets and where we want to grow the business, we'll definitely be looking to add a few people to the team.
Nice, cool. Well, here's to your every success in the coming months. Thank you so much for taking some time to chat today. And I guess we'll finish there.
Thanks, all. It's been really great.